I remember waking up one morning and seeing the pre-market price had jumped up to like $200. I just like got up and just like started dancing basically, because it's like, let's go. I can't believe this is actually working out. We're making money.
Early this year in January, you might remember some pretty unusual business news.
The internet takes on Wall Street. This story is stunning. The stock price for GameStop, which is a retail video game store, has been surging more than 600%.
So you were literally dancing in your room?
Yeah, I was for a bit, yeah. Not gonna lie, I was.
Cody Herdman at the time was a college freshman, and he and a few million other small investors did something unprecedented. They took a stock that Wall Street considered just about worthless, the video game retailer called GameStop, and bought it. They bought lots of it, which sent the price soaring.
Like seeing $2,000 magically overnight basically turn into like $6,000-$7,000.
The media used words like frenzy and madness and rebellion, and TV news went absolutely biblical.
What some people are calling a David and Goliath struggle.
To a David versus Goliath showdown. Amateur day traders
taking on some of Wall Street's most powerful hedge funds in an epic David versus Goliath showdown.
But why? What was the GameStop squeeze really all about? Our producer Alex Barron decided to dive straight in.
So it's January 27th. I'm at home in Brooklyn, and my entire newsfeed is just GameStop, GameStop, GameStop. I am not an investment guy. I've never bought an individual share of stock in my life, but I found all of this really exciting. And so I spent $400 to buy a share of GameStop. Actually, 1.090222 shares. And it's not until I hit send on the order that I think, for the first time, that by buying GameStop, I maybe just joined some kind of movement. So the GameStop story seems to me like the latest in a long line of situations where something unusual happening online causes something really unusual to happen in the quote-unquote real world. Think about something like QAnon, or on a totally different note, Me Too. These are movements that start online and end up totally reshaping the offline world. And it seemed to me that GameStop could be a movement like that, something that would fundamentally shake up the global financial system. So I think to myself, I should try to figure out exactly what this movement is. So I called Sheila Cole Hatkar, who writes about business for The New Yorker. I guess let's start with like a building block of this story, which is like, what is a short squeeze?
Do you want to talk about what a short is first?
Yeah. Okay. What's a short?
So short selling. As a side note, I think I've had to define what short selling is in like 50% of my New Yorker stories.
So here's what Sheila explains to me. There are these big-time investors like hedge funds, and they were shorting GameStop.
So instead of betting that a stock is going to rise in price, you're betting that it's going to go down.
And it made sense that GameStop, a brick-and-mortar retailer in the midst of a pandemic, would go down. So some investors on the internet notice that these hedge funds are shorting GameStop, and they start buying GameStop and driving the price up. They want to create something called a short squeeze.
And the higher the price goes, the more pressure it puts on the people who are short the stock, and it can lead to them having to go and buy the stock back at a really inflated price. And yes, if you have a big short position, a short squeeze is your nightmare.
So potentially huge losses for the hedge funds, but also huge gains for regular investors. And all of this is happening at a moment of convergence of a few things. So first of all, there's the pandemic. People are stuck at home and they're bored and they're looking for something to do. Second, there are all these apps that let average people like me trade stocks commission-free. I had bought GameStop using the most popular one of those apps, which is called Robinhood. Sheila actually just wrote a whole story about Robinhood for the magazine.
It's a fun, easy-to-use app on your phone. So Robinhood had the effect of, you know, driving a lot of new investors into the market. And those people, the same sorts of people who were attracted to Robinhood, many of them were the similar sorts of people who were looking at these online message boards.
The message boards, that's the third part of this convergence. What Sheila's talking about is mainly a community on Reddit called Wall Street Bets. That's the place where all these investors got together and kind of created the GameStop squeeze. So I started spending a lot of time on Wall Street Bets, and it is not your average investment community.
It has a really strong reputation, actually, for being semi-serious. I mean, there's a lot of joking around and inappropriate, you know, cartoons and so on being posted. But many traders I spoke to claimed that they had come up with good trading ideas by reading Wall Street Bets. Mm.
Just to give a rundown of what's on the front page of Wall Street Bets right now, we got a GIF of a guy like really getting beat up going down a slide. It says my portfolio the last week be like, it's a lot of people posting like big losses.
Loss
proudly
porn.
Posting big losses. Loss porn. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little painful.
Yeah.
But I guess some people think this is entertaining, which it is on some level.
Wall Street Bets describes itself as like 4chan found a Bloomberg terminal. So they proudly compared themselves to 4chan, one of the most controversial sites on the internet, the place where people go to post memes and also hate speech, the site that birthed the QAnon movement. Wall Street Bets says, we're like that, but for finance. And this is one of the things that starts making me suspicious of that simple David and Goliath narrative. I may not know a lot about investing, but I do know that internet communities are messy places. On Wall Street Bets, there are activists, there are trolls, and there are a lot of people who really aren't either of those things. So I started talking to some of them.
Hey.
Hey, Cody.
Sorry, my settings for this are off. I was doing something else. Let me...
It's totally fine. Changed
around.
This is Cody Herdman again, the 19-year-old investor who was dancing in his dorm room. Cody goes to Dakota State University in South Dakota. He likes video games and metal detecting, and he plays on the school football team.
Well, actually, because of COVID, our school lost most of its funding, so they ended up cutting my scholarship, which kind of sucks. But so I'm just doing all my stuff on my own time now. Just going to the gym, doing all my own running and whatnot.
Sheila put us in touch. She had talked to Cody for her Robinhood piece for the magazine. He was a regular Wall Street Bets user. He just kind of liked the way people talked about investing there. Memes are like a second language for Cody.
I mean, as a Zoomer or whatever, as someone who's, I mean, been very in the meme culture for a very long time, I mean, it was a lot more appealing to see other people that, I mean, had the same sense of humor as me, I guess, instead of just... Boomer ranting about stocks and words that are too big for me to possibly understand.
So late last year, Cody's on Wall Street Bets, and he notices people talking about GameStop and the possibility of making a lot of money investing in it. So Cody gets very excited about this, and he buys in. And pretty quickly, GameStop's price starts to go up.
And I think I was up to like $2,000.
And 2,000 bucks, so like, what's 2,000 bucks to you? That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a ton of money at once. Like, so that's, to me, obviously, that's a lot of money.
Cody bought GameStop at an average price of around $40. So the day it hit $350 was a big day. Cody was up like $25,000.
I mean, I'm not a good dancer. I wasn't doing anything crazy. I mean, it was more of just kind of a little happy dance type thing.
So to sum up, Cody likes Wall Street Bets. People on Wall Street Bets like GameStop. Cody buys GameStop. Cody makes money. That story makes perfect sense to me. But that's not David versus Goliath. It doesn't sound like Cody bought GameStop to stick it to the man. It sounds like he bought GameStop because he thought he'd make money. And he did. But this is where things get really interesting. Because after Cody invested, after he bought GameStop, his investment became a David versus Goliath story.
Where did sticking it to the hedge funds fit into like the list of reasons why you were interested in being part of the GameStop pump?
Originally, that wasn't really a part of it. But then like when I wrote that whole piece, I guess, about how we're fighting the hedgies, I mean, avenge our fathers type thing. I mean, mm-hmm. That was definitely a big part of it.
Cody is talking about something he posted on a Wall Street Bets comment thread the day after the stock hit the $350 mark. On January 28th, he wrote, in part, "I am holding to ensure my parents can live comfortable lives at the expense of the assholes that almost cost them their lives. This is for you, Dad." Cody explained to me that his family lost a lot of money in the financial crash.
My dad got really screwed over in 08, and I do want to see these hedgies suffer. I mean, like I said, kind of almost a spiritual successor to Occupy Wall Street at this point, where it's like we're, instead of literally occupying it, we are going to bankrupt you.
Now, Cody's just one guy, but for me, he's the kind of GameStop investor I hadn't heard about as much in all the coverage. Somebody whose reasons for participating in the GameStop squeeze were too complicated to fit a simple narrative. I found other people like that, too.
I had my baby, and I was just like, you know, I want to do something kind of exciting just for fun. I want to get involved in this.
I would be lying if I said it didn't scratch an itch, but there are a lot of things that scratch an itch. I love playing video games. I love playing chess. It doesn't have to be gambling. It doesn't have to be money-oriented. I'm great at finding things to become obsessive about.
I think, like, the progressive left really tried to pick up on this and paint it as, like, the working class rising up. And it wasn't any of that. It was not political.
That's Sarah Henry, also a GameStop investor, also a Wall Street Bets user, although...
I hate Wall Street Bets. I think the people there are awful. They are awful people. They are absolutely awful people. And if you just simply, like, zen out your mind and go, like, I'm not going to pay attention to any of that. I just want you to say, this is what I think is going to happen with gold and silver commodities in the next 6 months. Here's why I am playing long. Here's my due diligence.
Getting involved in GameStop definitely paid off for Sarah.
So my initial investment was $6,000. My total winnings were about $28,000. So I came out of the whole thing with $22,000 in net profit.
By the way, if you're wondering why it sounds like Sarah's camping, it's because she kind of is. She lives in an RV that she drives around Europe, and she makes money investing. And the way she described her decision to invest in GameStop, it stuck with me.
My initial buy-in was just simply based on the fact that this felt like a thing that was going to happen. And it did.
It felt like something was going to happen, and it did. That maybe sounds like a really arbitrary reason to do anything, but it's also maybe the closest anyone I talked to came to expressing why I bought GameStop on January 27th. I mean, look, a lot of what happens online can seem deeply weird, and it can feel comforting to try to say that there's some simple ideology behind it. A bunch of people wanted to take down Wall Street banks, so they got together on this subreddit and decided to buy a bunch of GameStop. But that story doesn't capture why every one of us participated in this movement, especially not at first.
I think in many, many aspects of life, and especially in many aspects of online life, ideology is a retroactive fit.
I ran this theory by Andrew Marantz. Andrew is a staff writer at The New Yorker, and he wrote a book about online communities called Antisocial.
I think this is true of everyone, that, like, it's about the rocket ship emojis. It's about the, like, memes. That is, like, honestly how most of us form our decisions. And then to say, like, I did this because of the financial crash, is like, okay, maybe to some extent you did. But, like, really? Was that really your primary motivation? Like, it just seems like that's not actually how life works.
When we talked, Andrew had just come across a quote from the literary critic Lionel Trilling from his book The Liberal Imagination, published in 1950.
And it's exactly about this aspect of the internet. I just read this, like, this morning, but it says, "Ideology is not acquired by thought, as he put it, but by breathing the haunted air. It is a strange, submerged life of habit and semi-habit in which to ideas we attach strong passions but no very clear awareness of the concrete reality of their consequences."
Now, if you followed the GameStop story at the time, you know that there are many other chapters here. Robinhood and a couple of other platforms eventually started limiting users' ability to buy GameStop stock. Politicians got angry. Congress held hearings. And some people started to wonder if maybe the whole squeeze might have been manipulated by those same rich traders that Wall Street Bets people thought they were sticking it to. Things on the internet never as simple as you want them to be. At any rate, there are a lot more of us in the market now than there were before. In addition to the Robinhood app, there's Fidelity, E-Trade, other platforms that let people like me trade stock commission-free. And Wall Street Bets has gone from around 2 million subscribers at the beginning of the year to around 10 million now. So whether or not I'm part of an ideological movement, I'm definitely part of a financial movement. I asked Sheila Kolhatkar about this, what's been called the democratization of finance. Would you anticipate that GameStop is going to be the last convulsion like this that we're going to see driven by this new flood of retail investors?
I think what the GameStop thing proved is that how easy it is for something like this to happen. All it takes is a little bit of momentum to build on one of these websites or on some other platform. So in fact, I think we should be expecting to see many more episodes like this. And in fact, I think it's going to be happening a lot more. I think now that all these tools are in everyone's hands, it's going to shake things up.
As for me, I ended up selling my 1.090222 shares of GameStop. I took a loss of $155. I was too late to the game. But I'm not going to stop investing. There are other opportunities like GameStop. Just in the last month, retail investors have driven up the price of AMC movie theaters more than 500%. I mean, with so many new people in the market, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, basically I'm now invested like $40,000 into like half meme stocks, half ETFs.
I would totally do it again, maybe even three times a year now.
We're not talking about a short squeeze anymore. This is now a fight. It's now a revolution because all of Wall Street Bets is here.
So, I mean, there's still a very, very large amount of people in this where it should work out if things go our way.
That story came from Alex Barron, a producer on our program, and you can read Sheila Kolhatkar on Robinhood Investors and much more about the world of business at newyorker.com.